This is Brian Cambria with news for the KVNF listening area Monday, October 8, 2012. Lightning strikes started two wildfires north of Hotchkiss Friday. Both fires were believed to be caused by lightning. The Oak Mesa fire was burning in pinyon juniper on BLM-managed lands and, as of Friday, was estimated at one-tenth of an acre. There were no threats to life or property. One BLM crew was working to suppress the fire, and full containment was estimated to occur on Saturday. I don't have an update on that this morning. The Chaining Fire is located about 4 miles north of Hotchkiss and was burning on private land adjacent to BLM-managed lands. The size was estimated at 4 acres. There were no threats to life or property. Current on-scene resources include firefighters from the Hotchkiss Fire Protection District and a fixed-wing aircraft, additional firefighters from the Montrose Interagency Fire Management Unit, and a federal contract single-engine air tanker, or SEAT, arrived in the afternoon on Friday to help with the suppression of that fire. And I know that you can find more if you went to the Hotchkiss Fire Suppression District Facebook page, if you are so inclined. The Highway 13 fire, 15 miles north of Rifle, on mostly BLM land, was 80% contained as of last night. The majority of firefighting resources are leaving the Highway 13 fire today, and fire officials believe any additional growth of the fire is unlikely. However, occasional smoke may be seen from unburned pockets of vegetation within the interior of the fire. Incident Commander Ross Wilmore said that local firefighters from the Upper Colorado River Unit will continue to be on scene monitoring the fire and will take action if necessary. However, those interior areas will be allowed to burn because of the balance between the threat of spreading versus the danger to the firefighters. About 50 firefighters were securing containment lines around the 991-acre fire yesterday, supported by a heavy helicopter and a light helicopter. Again, the fire is 15 miles north of Rifle. This fire season started with active fire behavior in the spring, and it's continuing into the late part of the year. Illustrates a high fire danger continues this fall. A wildfire reported Saturday in the San Juan National Forest north of Durango is estimated at 40 acres, burning on the east side of the Animas Canyon near Needle Creek. The Goblin Fire is believed to have been started by the Durango and Silverton Narrow Gauge Railroad. Forest Service and railroad firefighters responded, aided by a Type 3 helicopter. The Cinnamon Bear Fire, estimated at 110 acres, is in a remote area of Bear Basin, 2 miles south of Blue Mountain. About 25 local firefighters have been joined by a hotshot crew, a Type 1 crew, and 2 Type 2 crews. Type 1 and Type 3 helicopters and 2 single-engine air tankers are being coordinated under air attack. The Type 3 helicopter is also making drops on the nearby Wedding Fire, estimated at just over 1 acre in size and about 2 miles southwest of Blue Mountain. Both of these fires are also believed to have been started by lightning. With the first rifle season underway this weekend, the Durango Interagency Fire Dispatch Center warns anyone heading out into the backcountry to be extremely careful with fire under the current dry and windy conditions. President Barack Obama has ordered flags lowered to half-staff nationwide this week in recognition of Fire Prevention Week. In his proclamation, Obama encouraged Americans to take precautions to protect themselves from house fires. He also mentioned the intense wildfire season, writing, quote, "This year, wildfires caused profound damage to communities across our country, and our nation mourned the loss of life that followed. These events remind us that wildfires are often unpredictable, which is why it is essential for people in areas at risk to practice proper prior prevention and preparedness." Obama also expressed deep gratitude for firefighters and first responders, writing, quote, "This week we pay solemn tribute to the men and women who gave their lives to protect our own. Their sacrifice will never be forgotten, and in their memory, let us rededicate ourselves to preventing tragedy before it strikes," end quote. Moving on, Arch Coal will temporarily pay below normal federal royalty for some of its West Elk mine operations near Somerset because of adverse geological conditions, the company says, have made certain mining less economical. According to the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel, the Bureau of Land Management approved the request in September. The Sentinel reports Governor John Hickenlooper wrote the BLM a letter expressing the state's support for the reduction. The support comes despite a roughly $3 million projected annual drop in royalty payments that are split between the federal government and Colorado. Mike King, the state's Department of Natural Resources executive director, said Hickenlooper wants to keep North Fork Valley coal mines vibrant as employers. The reduction from the standard 8% underground mine rate to 5% will last for 5 years and apply to about 6,300 acres under two leases and an estimated 31 million metric tons of produced coal. A metric ton is about 2,200 pounds. Hickenlooper also sent letters of support in August for similar temporary reductions for the Kalawayo mine near Meeker and the McLean Canyon mine north of Fruta. The status of those requests was not available from the BLM at this time. The Colorado Secretary of State's office expects more people to register to vote this election cycle because of the closely watched presidential race. As Benta Berkland reports, voters have until midnight on Tuesday to register to vote online.
This is the first presidential election for Colorado to have online voter registration and the first to allow people to register with an app on their mobile devices. Rich Coolidge is a spokesman for the Secretary of State's office. He says hundreds of thousands of people have viewed the website and many are registering and updating their information. He attributes part of the interest to Colorado's swing state status in the presidential race.
I can't remember this many presidential and vice presidential visits. Certainly 2008 was an exciting time. But now in 2012, even though we didn't have a convention here, we're still seeing a lot of attention, a lot of visits, and it's almost impossible to go a day without being reminded that there's an election coming up.
The political campaigns are also registering voters, and the Secretary of State's office launched a voter registration effort in early September. Figures show that about 175,000 people have registered to vote in the last month. Coolidge says there was also a spike in registrations during the first presidential debate at the University of Denver. The deadline to register is October 9th. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
To check your registration or register for the first time, visit govotecolorado.com. The health care law now makes it more affordable for small businesses and nonprofits to provide health insurance for their employees. But only a minuscule number of those employers are actually taking advantage of the opportunity. From Colorado Public News, Carol McKinley explains why.
Old Town Bike Shop in Colorado Springs is buzzing with helmeted customers getting flat tires fixed and buying new parts. 2 years ago, five of John Crandall's eight employees started getting health care when he decided to take advantage of the new health care tax credit.
It gives us a little more of a level playing field to huge companies that have such buying clout that they can get much better rates.
Under the law, the tax credit cuts health care premiums by as much as 35%. Crandall pays half of the premium and his employees pay the rest. He shares the savings with them.
You know, I actually don't see why anyone would not do this.
Still, a recent survey reveals a staggering 95% of Colorado's small business owners are indeed not using the tax credit. There are reasons. Half don't know about it. Others, accountants say, feel it's just too complicated.
Many small businesses are a little hesitant of the law. It's confusing.
Mike Franca, an Arvada CPA, says the tax credits don't do much for many of his clients who run small businesses. Some are restaurants or landscapers, which hire minimum wage workers who can be easily replaced.
They're simply a commodity, and the employers don't really look at those programs to buy insurance for these employees. Their businesses are such that there's probably not a lot of margin in there for them to pay these additional costs for the health premiums.
Not so for Jack Renfro, whose employees, he says, are like family.
All of our employees have been here 20, 35 years, so they're all really well trained, and you feel obligated to them, so you're wanting to take care of them. They come before me.
Renfro was forced to make a hard decision with his Greeley construction company, Foundation Builders. 2 years ago, hard times forced him to cut health insurance and vacation pay, and he hasn't even paid himself.
No, I haven't taken a check since January of 2009. You know, I worked just, you know, day and night to keep the company going.
Renfro says he'd get health insurance back for his employees if he could afford it. In the meantime, he's going to keep his company at under 50 workers to avoid the impending fine for not providing coverage for them.
If that's the cutoff, then we'll never go over that again. Not that we're trying to take anything away from our employees, but we have to keep the door open, you know.
Even John Crandall admits the new health care laws need improvement. For instance, the 8-page IRS application has people scratching their heads, but he swears small business owners who take the time to learn will have motivated employees.
My frustration is just the fact that not enough people know about this, and there are significant forces, of course, that don't necessarily want them to know about it.
The tax credit rises from 35 to 50% in 2014, so more employers may find it useful then. Carol McKinley, Colorado Public News.
There will be an open house on Tuesday, that's tomorrow, from 3 until 6 p.m. at the Grand Mesa Uncompahgre and Gunnison National Forest Headquarters for the public to meet new forest supervisor Scott Armentrout. The office is located at 2250 U.S. 50 at the south end of Delta. Now stay tuned. The Go Betty Show is coming up in just a moment. I should tell you, in observance of Columbus Day, many state offices will be closed today. State driver's license offices, the Department of Public Health and Environment's Vital Records Office, Division of Wildlife Service Centers, and administrative offices for executive branch departments will be among the facilities closed. All Colorado State Parks will be open and staffed, but administrative offices and visitor centers will be closed. State troopers will be patrolling the highways, and the Department of Transportation maintenance crews will be working as necessary. This concludes the morning newscast for Monday. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria. Good day.